Our Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, and thank you. Thank you for the privilege to call upon you as our Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, who dwells in this body, to help us exalt the Savior. I pray, dear Lord, that I would have the energy the rest of my life to exalt you. I pray that I'd watch for your face. I pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God. I thank you for this book. 48 years, Lord, I've studied it. I believe it's the Word of God. Now I come to you again this morning and ask only what you can give. Hide me in such a way behind the cross so that Christ could be seen. Exalt yourself today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I want to start reading in verse 35. They come to a place called Golgotha. The Bible says a place of skull in verse 33. In verse 35 said, and they crucified him and parted his garments, cast in lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. You know, it's an interesting thing how tragedy and calamities creates a crowd. You go down the road and see a wreck of any kind, and it's almost like you want to stop, and most do, to look at it. Here is a tragical time in Rome's history and also Israel's history. Crucifixion is a terrible way to die. And yet they expose people in public to try to deter crime. Here they have classified our Savior as a criminal. We know, though, he had no sin in his life. And yet, as they now parted his garments, nailed him to a cross, they sit down, watch him die. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. There's something that's a curiosity about people dying. You ever seen someone die? Many times you say you don't like to see that, but if you have someone you know is dying, there's many times, especially loved ones, you get around and watch as they draw their last breath. These people here, some of them are sitting down. Then it says, and he set up other over his head an accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. We know all four Gospels, this is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the other, on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Now, we have a group of people sitting down watching him die. And we also have another group of people walking by, wagging their heads and also their tongues, watching him die. It says in verse 40, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Again, 41, likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and others said, it wasn't just a few days before this, a few hours before this, they were crying, Hosanna, King of the Jews. It's interesting how the leaders of the judicial system could change the people's mind in just a matter of a few hours, to please the system more than to please God. And he goes on and he says, they said they mocked him. So you got those sitting down, those walking by, wagging their heads and wagging their tongues, reviling against him. And then you have the leaders also making false and sad accusations. In verse 42, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now. Notice the word now. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, now come down. Watch what he says. And we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him have him now. Let him deliver him now. If he would have him, for he says, I am the Son of God. And the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. My subject is found in verse 42. He saved others, but cannot save himself. What a statement. Just a few hours before this took place, he had entered Jerusalem among the shouts of Hosanna, King of the Jews, with palm branches waved before him. Now, before the palm branches even had time to wither, they cried, crucify him. They had turned from hell, King of the Jews, to crucify him. Now, as a criminal's cross has been laid upon God's Son on the way towards his death. Now, heaven's course hushes. The angels hold their breath as the Lamb of God is lifted up to take away the sin of the world. Now, the Son of God has become a prisoner, seemingly of his own creation. Now, the prisoner has become the sport of the executioner. Now the Lamb of God is ridiculed by those who attend the Passover feast at Jerusalem as they pass by. The very ones who went to the Passover feast to give the Passover for the coming Lamb. When the very Lamb came, now they don't even recognize what's going on. And here they have executed him. They ridicule him, the very Lamb of God, that they just brought a Lamb to Jerusalem to sacrifice, looking for the Messiah to come. The popular cheer has changed to a hatred jeer. No doubt this added a strong sting to his reproach as they spit their venom at him while passing by. From the River Jordan to Pilate's courtroom, they had tracked him like a tiger thirsting for blood. Now in their moment of triumph, they gather to literally watch him die, and making all kinds of accusations about what he could do if he wanted to, and since he couldn't, he must not be who he said he was. They had cried back in Luke 4:23, Physician, heal thyself. Now they go further than just to cry, but with a curled lip they cry, He saved others, himself he cannot save. And in saying so, not even realizing who they're saying it about. And yet, what looked like Satan's triumph became his greatest defeat. What looked like Satan in the eyes of men being right. And if he be the Son of God, why didn't he come down? If he is the Son of God, why would God let his Son be treated like he was treated? If he is the Son of God, why doesn't he come down? If you come down now, we'll believe on you. With curled lips, they cried. The pain of his thorn-pierced brow, the pain of his spear-ripped side, the pain of his lacerated limbs were small compared to the jeers, the cruel jeers and the bitter jesters that cut to his bosom. Yes, nails pierced his hands, but their jeers pierced his heart. That must have been something to Christ, the holy being that he was, that hurt him. When he saw that those a few hours before had cried, King of the Jews, now crucify him. He saved others, he himself cannot save. He cannot save. Now it's interesting that phrase. Because ladies and gentlemen, when you look at that phrase, there's three things that comes from that phrase. In one sense, it is untrue what they said. In another sense, it's true what they said. And then, yet what he did do or what he did not do, he did it all for you and me. What he did do and what he did not do, he did it for you and he did it for me. Both ways. And by the way, both ways are in this verse of Scripture. Both ways. Let's look at the first one. You see, in a sense, the words were untrue. Again, he saved others, himself he cannot save. The first statement shows Satan's power, which is a false power. The fact is that he did not come down didn't mean that he could not come down. And yet, on the other hand, it didn't mean he didn't have the power not to come down. The fact that he could save others did not mean if he didn't come down, he didn't have the power to save others. He wasn't talking about his power. He had the power to do so. In Matthew 27, if thou be the Son of God, in verse 40, 42, come down from the cross, and we will believe. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. They knew it. They'd already nailed him to the cross. They would not believe. Had they been willing to believe, they'd have never nailed him to the cross. Come down now, and we will believe. That's a lie. They would not. Some of these same hearts were hardened at the resurrection of Lazarus and refused to believe that Lazarus was raised from the dead. Some of these same people did not believe that Jesus had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. They had all kinds of accusations about him among their midst. They were so hard-hearted that they were beyond any external evidence whatsoever. And their determined factor was to crucify him, get him out of the midst as quick as possible, even believing they're doing God a service to do so, like Saul of Tarsus. External evidence was not enough. Hey, by prophecy, he had already fulfilled. Old Testament should have been enough. By doctrines that he taught should have been enough. By the life of it that he lived should have been enough. By the blood that he shed. By miracles that he performed. Jesus Christ had proven that he was the absolute Son of God, but they refused to believe beyond any external circumstances whatsoever. Nothing would cause them to believe unless they listened to him by just his bare word. There's enough power in his words to bring conviction if they're willing to listen. Now, come down from the cross. You see, because he would not come down. Hear me. Because he would not come down doesn't mean he could not come down. And yet here they are mocking. The fact that you don't come down shows he says he's the Son of God. Because he doesn't come down, then he must not be the Son of God. Why would the Son of God let him, in so many words, suffer like he suffered? Surely if he's the Son of God, we know God better than that. If he's the Son of God, God wouldn't allow this. And so here, they look at the scene, making all kinds of questions or statements about this particular scene. He chose to save others by sacrificing of himself. We understand that. No one is as blind as those who refuse to believe. That's the reason when you and I go out visitation on Thursday night, like we did Thursday night. That's the reason we go out and we get a chance to witness sometimes. And it's so vivid and a person seems to listen so good, but they just absolutely refuse to believe. And there is no one as blind as one who refuses to believe. That's the reason I found out years ago, when it comes to a place to see a person refuses to believe, God don't want me wasting my time there. Move on, because time is too short and things are coming so fast. We need to get to the place that one will at least listen. Now, if a person will listen and you know they're listening, then I'll stay there as long as I needed to. But there comes a time they quit listening and you still feel like because they listen a little bit, you're going to win them to the Lord. I found out, ladies and gentlemen, I can't win nobody to the Lord myself. God has to do it through me. And I found this out. There have been many that I pushed and got made professionals of faith, come into this church, baptized, and they won't hear 6 months before they were gone. But I'll tell you this, when Jesus Christ saves your soul, you can't cast him off like that. You can't do it. You just can't get rid of him like that, because when he comes in by the power of his Spirit, there's a new direction that he leads one to go into. They argued, he is not God's Son. Therefore, he must die. He is blaspheming. He's not God's Son. He must die. It is a capital punishment to claim to be equal with God. Now they ping him on the cross. And now they say, he's dying, therefore he is not the Son of God. He must die because he is not the Son. And now we've got him on the cross. And now that he is dying proves that he's not the Son of God. Now, they didn't understand the mystery about God's love. They argued that his present helplessness in this life on the cross destroyed his words about saving others. And by the way, the same argument is going on today. The argument that a man could die and save men from their sin to an infidel or to an atheist or to someone who won't believe. That's foolish to them. I mean, that's foolish. I mean, they look at it, hey, if he could die, then Confucius could die, or I could die, or someone else could die. They don't realize no one else was the sinless sacrifice. See, they don't see that. They cannot grasp that in this life. And so that's the reason as we get into the last days, it's going to be harder and harder and harder to get people to believe this man Jesus who came 2,000 years ago is still the Son of God. He's still the Messiah. He's still the Lamb of God. And he's coming back King of Kings one of these days. But you can't get them to see that, you see. They just refuse to do so. Then they say he pretend to help others. Look at him. He can't even save himself. How can he save others? Surely if he had the power to save others, he could save himself. Well, if you'd been standing there listening to that group, you'd probably have said, you know, that sounds reasonable to the human mind. You got to do more than just reason with the human mind. You got to let the Word of God show that the human reason can lead you astray. God's reason is always much better than human reason. Because he would not help himself. Because he would not come down. And I'll tell you this. I thank God he doesn't listen to puny little man when he's making demands on God, which would be easy for him to do the show. Because he would not help himself, he was branded as a liar about helping others. But what about the witnesses? What about blind Bartimaeus from Capernaum? What about the leper at Samaria? What about the demon-possessed man at Gadara? What about the resurrected Lazarus of Bethany? When you look at this, they did not know that his own word towards God the Father would have paralyzed the whole crowd as they lifted their hands against him if that's what he wanted done. They did not know. Michael the angel was waiting at one word from Christ. 12 legions would wait in at one nod from Christ. He could have wiped the whole crowd out in just one split second. And here they are ridiculing and mocking the Son of God. I believe with all my heart, as they looked upon the scene, and this is Ennis's hypothesis, but I believe with all my heart, as they looked upon that scene, they wondered why Christ didn't let them. They knew Christ could have taken care of it. Why won't he nod his head? Why don't he give us the sign? Why won't he know? We would come, we would come, we would come. We would take care of the situation, but the whole time he allowed it. They're saying, probably to themselves, we wouldn't allow it, not understanding his mercy and his grace. Give us the sign, Jesus. Give us the sign. We'll come to the rescue. We'll prove to them that you are who you are. But he don't need the angels to prove to them who he is. He's able to do that himself. And you see, when we begin to try to prove something ourselves, sometimes we miss the mark of God. Because God does things that we don't understand proving who he is because he's got a purpose later. And that's what's happening here when we see this. So I say in full consciousness of his own eternal power, he turns their cannot into his own will not. It's not that he cannot, but because of his eternal power, he turns their cannot into his will not. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. They didn't even kill him. They drew all the blood from his body. But he proved he had the power to do beyond anything that anyone could think. And because he would not come down, is no proof that he could not come down. But it tells us something, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me. How can you read this book? How can you study this book without having a compassion about who saved us and want to serve Him? I don't understand it, save my life, how anyone can learn about what He's done and look at what took place and say He's my Savior and not want to serve Him. If He could and would not come down, hear me, there must have been a greater purpose in His plan and His purpose. If He could come down and would not, there must have been something greater that's going on right now on the earth. It looks like a man dying. They've seen many others. There's two hanging beside of him. They deserve their death. They've said themselves they did. And here now, the man in the center, he's dying too. Well, why? Our Sanhedrin court, the Roman Empire wouldn't do this. If he wasn't guilty, he's bound to be guilty. And so therefore the reasoning begins to be ungodly. So the first thing I say to you, what they said was true. He pretended to save others. The first was untrue, I should say. The first statement was untrue. He pretended to save others. Look, he cannot even save himself. But then look at the second statement in this verse. In a sense, what they said was true. First, what they said could be untrue if you look at it on the basis of their looking at it. He pretended to save others, he can't even save himself. That's untrue. It wasn't the power, again, that he didn't have, to do this, because he had the power to do both of them. But in God's plan and purpose, he could not do both and save us like God wants to save us forever. So the second thing, because he would not, they said he could not. In a sense, the people's words were true too. If he would save others, he cannot save himself. The cross became the throne of his saving power. Morally, it was impossible for Christ to leave the cross. Did you know that? Not that he didn't have the power. They didn't know what they were. They couldn't put him on the cross if he hadn't laid his life down. So morally, ladies and gentlemen, it was not that it is impossible for Christ to leave the cross. Why? He could not leave the cross and be our Redeemer. He could not leave the cross and be our mediator in 1 Timothy 2:9. He could not leave the cross and be our surety pledge in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. If he would take away the sin of the world, he must pay the sin debt. That's God's predetermined counsel how it would be paid on the cross of Calvary. So therefore, what they said one way was untrue from man's looking at it, but from the other way, it's true. It's very rare you see a statement said where it can be true and untrue, depending on how you look at it, and both ways be right, depending on how you look at it. Are you with me? Have I lost you by halfway? You know as good as I do. They challenge him to save himself from the cross. Listen to this. They challenge him to save himself from the cross while he was saving others by the cross. Therefore, it's necessary that he died. When he died, the heart of this earth broke. When he died, the heavens mourned by turning dark. Yet it would have been darker. It was dark as far as the cloud of the circumstances, but it would have been darker for man if he had saved himself. You hear what I said? It would have been much darker for man in this world if he had saved himself. If he had saved himself, the Old Testament prediction would have been false. If he'd saved himself, even the Old Testament rites and sacrifice would have no meaning. The temple would have no meaning. The tabernacle would have no meaning. The lambs being sacrificed would have no meaning. If he'd saved himself, he would have repudiated his own teaching. If he'd saved himself, he would destroy the eternal plan of God. If he'd saved himself, he would have left this world unredeemed forever, without hope, doomed and damned forever. If he had saved himself. And I say to you, and I sat there this morning, thanks be unto God, He didn't save himself. Praise his holy name. He did not save himself. Oh, I didn't understand the day I trust him like I do now. What a wonderful privilege it is for him to call us children of God because of what he has done for us rather than what we have done for him. Thank God Almighty. He died that we might live. He was stripped from his clothes that we might be clothed with a robe of righteousness. He accepted the thorn that we might wear a crown. He was cast out of the city of David that we could enter into the city of God, called the heavenly Jerusalem. That's who he is. In a sense, their words were untrue. In another sense, their words were true. He saved others, himself he cannot save. Now, come down, and we'll believe on thee. What he did or did not do, again, the third thing was for you and me. You wonder why I go, my wife go. There's something about the message that God has given us. Just can't lay down. Just can't lay down. We talk about many times how the hours when we're not here, what we're involved with the church work. And she has to be there with me. And the time it takes. And our heart goes out for people to help. The very best that God could do, he did it so you and I could be saved from sin. And that's the reason we go. That's the reason those who go soul winning, go soul winning. That's the reason we know there are some things in life that's more important than things in life. Christ existed from heaven to earth. To Calvary, back to heaven, was a continued outpouring of himself for the sake of others. He encourages his children to do the same in this life. That's the reason Mark 8, 34 and 35. He said, deny yourself. And take up or deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. He encourages his children to do the same in this life. It's identified with him in such a way that knowing that people will never see Christ until he sees him in us first. He saved others, himself he cannot save. I heard of a story, it's a true story of a family who had a little boy, 5 years old. And to tell you how it started to begin, we had one day they came to the hospital. They were both dressed in a suit of clothes. The little boy, 5-year-old, had a suit. The dad had a suit on. When they walked into the hospital, you couldn't tell which one of them had a problem physically. They were both dressed alike. But when we got there and the nurses and all began to fill out papers and so forth, the little boy was one who had cancer. 5 years old. And he said, my dad and I are dressed alike. A few days later, he came back for some treatments. He had a cap on. His dad had a cap on. They were dressed just alike that time, but they didn't have a suit on. And the little boy took his cap off. When he did, his dad took his cap off. Both of them were bald. And the little boy said, you know, said, my daddy and I are going to grow our hair back together. In other words, the dad wanted to ease the problem of his son by identifying with him as far as the way he looked so others wouldn't mock him as much. If they mocked the boy, they had to mock him. In other words, the dad could not save his son from the cancer, but he could identify with him. And I heard that story. I said, Lord, that's exactly what the Lord is telling us about taking up our cross. You and I can't die for sin, but he wants us to identify with him. So when we tell someone the story, they'll see Christ in us. We can't die for the sinner, but we identify with him to a point and point others to him. That Jesus Christ came and died. He could have saved himself. It's not the power he didn't have that. He had the power also to save others. But if he saved himself in God's plan, he could not save others. If he saved others, he had to die. Aren't you glad that God is not like man? Because probably if we'd have made such a plan as that, once we saw your son having to take what Christ took, we might have changed our mind. But God didn't. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And at that moment, God, as you heard me say many times, is extracting eternal death from him. Before he gives up his life, the ghost, that you and I might be free, might have his life forever. I say to you this morning, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, look at what I've just said. He saved others, himself he cannot save. Oh, yes, he's not in fact the power. And I want to say it again. It's not that he don't have the power to save himself or save others, but in God's plan, he can't save himself and save others. For to save himself will repudiate everything that God had been telling us since Adam fell about the coming one who would pay the sin debt. Thank God he suffered our shame and reproach, that we might have the life of God forever. 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 My Father, thank you so much for this study. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of God in this study. Thank you for the song sung this morning in this service. Dear God, help someone today who's been reasoning about who Jesus is to really see God's plan and purpose. It's not that he could not. It means he would not, because he loved us so much. And yet, where one part of the statement is true and one part is untrue, we understand the reasoning now. He would not save himself because he loved us so much that since this is the only way that God could pay the sin debt for us, he took our place that we might go free. What more can I say to get people to see that who are not saved? Only Satan shows he has more power to get people to believe a lie when God is coming and will not burglarize their will and lay the facts before them and say, here it is, son, daughter. Will you receive it? If you receive it, I guarantee you, I will do what I said I would do. You can mark it down. Please help someone either here or by the way or radio in a few minutes to see you once and for all who you really are. Holy Spirit, please take these feeble means that I have presented today to exalt Jesus and magnify it. Build it up in someone's mind. Do what only you can do to someone who'll listen. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for we ask it in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.